Hey guys, welcome back to the Big Red Express on a Thursday, Throwback Thursday. We started this series last week with our first ever interview where we sat down with Colton Kraft. I think it was like the second week of the podcast. So thank you guys so much for all the great feedback getting back from that interview. That was back in the archives, the very first interview. We've got our second ever interview. It's funny because we were supposed to have two guys on the podcast, two roommates, two guys that know each other very well, but we had to reschedule one of the guys, Jamie Campbell, who's actually on the podcast just a couple of months ago. So if you guys have missed that interview, you guys will want to go back and check that out. But this is the first time that we had Adam Klink on the podcast, and we talk about college soccer. He played at Rutgers. We talk about football, how we got into how he got into CrossFit. He's going to regionals this year for, I believe, it's either the fourth or the fifth time. So he's one of the coaches at CrossFit Krypton. He's one of six athletes that are going from CrossFit Krypton. And we're going to have, you know, throwbacks of all the regional athletes, of course. And we're going to try to get the entire regional athletes from CrossFit Krypton on the podcast before they head off to Atlanta. But guys, our interview with Adam Klink, we've had him on a couple times since then. So if you guys want to go check out the archives on iTunes, on Podomatic, or if you just want to reach out to me, I can send them to you personally, and that is the best way to do it, guys. But no more of me talking, right into our second ever interview on this Big Red Express. Our first one with the man, the myth, the legend, Adam Klink at a CrossFit Krypton. Guys, enjoy, have fun, have a great rest of your week.
Coming to you from CrossFit Krypton in Chesapeake, Virginia, here is the Big Red Express.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Big Red Express inside CrossFit Krypton. I hope you guys are having a great week so far. I am sitting down with CrossFitter and former Division I athlete Adam Klink. Adam, thanks for sitting down with us.
Oh, absolutely, man. Anytime.
So, Adam, tell us a little bit about yourself, kind of your background with CrossFit, sports, just in general.
Let's see. I grew up around here. I played soccer, basketball, and football in high school, mainly soccer, though. And then I went off to play soccer at Rutgers. I was a goalkeeper for the team for 4 years. I suffered too many concussions, so I wasn't able to play my last year there. So I was a goalkeeper coach there for a little while, for a year. And then I eventually picked up CrossFit during my last year at college, because I wanted to stay competitive in something, because I couldn't do contact sports anymore. I always kind of thought I would be a soccer coach, maybe coach at Rutgers, be a goalkeeper coach. But then kind of out of the blue, Ben Smith, good friend Ben, he asked me if I wanted to come down after college and be a trainer. So the day after I graduated, I was down here.
Nice. How did you kind of get introduced to CrossFit? You said you played soccer. Obviously, you played soccer in high school a little bit. How did you get kind of introduced to CrossFit after kind of soccer was a far sight?
Yeah, and actually, I was doing some CrossFit workouts before I even knew that it was CrossFit. When I was training in high school, I knew I was going off to play at Rutgers, and I wanted to do some sort of training. I was over at the Northwest Annex, and I got a trainer there, and she was like, "Sure, I'll train you, but we do CrossFit." And I was like, "All right, I have no idea what that is, but if it's going to make me, you know, a better soccer player, sure."
Right.
So I did that, and you know, it wasn't anything consistent. It was once in a while I would do some workouts, but then obviously going playing soccer, we didn't really do CrossFit type workouts with the team. And then, I've known Ben since high school, and I've kind of followed up on him, you know, throughout college and stuff, and saw what he was doing, and it always had interested me. I just really couldn't do it while I was playing soccer.
Right. Did you ever think that this is where you would be? You obviously said that you played soccer in high school and went to college, played it, thought you were going to be a coach. Did you ever think that you would have the success in CrossFit that you have had so far?
Not at all. I didn't even know this is what I would be doing, full time now. Honestly, when I was in college, I wanted to go pro, you know, whether it was here or overseas. And when that fell through, you know, I had no idea what I would do. But no, I mean, just like anything else, you know, if you work hard and put the time in, you know, you're going to have some success. You know, that's how soccer was for me. I can't say I was necessarily the most talented player, but that was always kind of my thing. I was always going to outrun somebody.
Right.
You know, always just try to outwork them.
Now, as a goalkeeper, a category of your own in the soccer field. Goalkeepers kind of, you know, stay to themselves. They are known for kind of hitting the gym a little bit more.
Yeah.
Did you kind of live in the gym when you were in college?
Yeah, actually. So, you know, our team would lift so many times a week, two or three times a week, not much. I would lift about every day, and the majority of time it was actually with the Rutgers football team.
Right.
You know, and not only that, I would go in on, you know, Sundays, you know, when everything would be closed, the football weight coaches would open the weight room up, and a few football players would come
right.
and work out with me. So, yeah, I did a little extra than everybody else.
So when CrossFit kind of – when you realized you had a couple concussions, obviously those are a big deal, especially nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
In soccer, being a goalie, you probably experienced more than your share that you would have liked to. Kind of going back and looking back at that, do you think there was anything that you would probably change about maybe the way you approach the game of soccer every day?
I can't say I would have done anything differently. You know, I can say, yeah, I wouldn't have thrown my body out of, you know, some of the plays
mm-hmm.
that I got injured on. But you can't play timid. You know, you got to play hard, or you're going to get injured even worse than you did. So,
right.
You know, and it wasn't even, you know, that I had that many concussions. It was just the severity of my concussions. The first one I got in high school was pretty bad. I had to actually drop out of school for a few months.
Right.
I lost my short-term memory. So from there on out, everyone after that was, you know, it was only a matter of time before I wouldn't be able to do anything contact anymore. And I knew that, and that was a risk I was willing to take at the level I was playing. I mean, could have said, yeah, I wore a rugby helmet 1 year
right.
after one of my concussions, and I could have, you know, I ended up taking it off the next year after that,
yeah.
two more concussions. So I could have said, yeah, I could have worn that for longer, but, I mean, in the end, I don't think I would have changed too much, no.
I gotcha. Now, kind of jumping into the matter of hand, you being at a foreign Division I athlete, a lot of speculation, a lot of probably the biggest controversy going on in college athletics nowadays, probably more than ever in the last five years or so, is whether or not college athletes should get paid. And that's why I kind of wanted to sit down with you, kind of get your opinion on it. Obviously, being a Division I athlete at a high level, Rutgers, obviously a big Division I school up in New Jersey. Kind of what are your thoughts on that whole subject, that whole topic?
Yeah, so it's a really tough topic because I think there are different ends of the spectrum for each individual player, first of all. You know, I was very fortunate to have my schooling paid for. You know, now on a soccer team, especially, you know, football gets, you know, I don't know the number, but almost to a full team worth of scholarships is,
right.
you know, a few walk-on players. But you take a soccer team, for example, we have 30 players and 9.9 scholarships. So the majority of players are getting little or no money at all, especially as a freshman. Usually soccer, you kind of got to earn your money.
Right.
And as you go, you get more money. But for me personally, I was very blessed and very fortunate to have my schooling paid for. And so for me, you know, just getting paid for that education at a university like Rutgers University was enough for me. I didn't feel I needed any more than that. I had everything I needed there.
Right.
But then, you know, I get it. You get kids, you know, who come from lower income backgrounds, and they come to college and they get a full ride, right, but now they can't get a pizza
right.
after the game because the dining halls are closed.
Yeah.
Or they can't, you know, go out with their friends. And I can see, you know, some kids getting in trouble that way. And then on the other hand, you know, the football team, for the most part, some schools is other sports, but, I mean, they bring in millions and millions of dollars for the school, and
right.
I get that argument that they should be getting paid because, you know, these schools are using specific players as advertisements for
mm-hmm.
the school, and that's what's getting these schools big names, and they're getting kids to want to go to these universities. So I just think it's a touchy subject because I think it can go either way, and you can make arguments for both.
I think one of the biggest things that people say is, like you were mentioning, some of these athletes, some of these teams make these programs in these schools millions and millions of dollars. Then you you look at a school like Alabama or a school like UNC or Duke or something like that, where they have, or Florida even, it's probably one of the most, the biggest examples, because they have a good basketball team, a good football team, and when you do have a limited amount of scholarships for the athletes, but then also in, when you're talking about, yeah, you get a full ride, but some of these guys can't even afford to eat the next day or afford to eat that night because the dining halls are closed, so they can't go out and, you know, get a bite to eat. Do you think it's something that, I mean, as an athlete, personally, if you wouldn't have gotten a full ride, if you weren't blessed enough to, you know, go to Rutgers and be taken care of like you were, do you think that that's something that you probably, obviously, you're probably a little biased because, you know, being an NCAA athlete, a Division I athlete at that, playing at a high level, you're like, oh, yeah, probably 100%. Do you think that it should be one flat rate for kind of every sport, or do you think it should be different depending on how much money the sport makes the school?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I think it should be even. I think it should be even in the sense of every player gets played, both men and women, but I also think scholarship-wise, too. I think that's right. One thing the NCAA needs to change is, I think if you're gonna play a college sport, you should get a full ride. Because let me tell you, they say that you can work.
Yeah.
But, you can't.
Right.
I mean, let's be real. You have practice every day. I remember when we were there, we had to have our whole morning blocked off until noon. We
didn't
have anything before noon, mm-hmm. and then we had classes the whole rest of the evening, and then we had homework on top of that, and then we were trying to get to bed at a decent hour, you know, because you were getting up at 6 in the morning the next day. So I think, I mean, I really think that just – hands down, every athlete should get their schooling paid for. Mm-hmm. I think that may, you know, I think that could solve a lot of the issues and a lot of the controversy, because a lot of it is these kids are getting, you know, these schools' names out there and well known, but a lot of these kids aren't getting a dollar from the school.
Yeah.
But no, I think. I mean, obviously, yeah, football's a big moneymaker, but I think, you know, every time a student-athlete puts that jersey on, they're representing the school.
Definitely.
And it doesn't matter how, but, you know, they're impacting a lot of different people in one way or another. So, I don't think you can really pay players depending on how, you know, what sport they play. Because then you get into a whole other issue there.
All right, so we're going to open up we got some questions emailed in at bigredexpresspodcast@gmail.com. If you guys want to, you know, email any questions for any future episodes, any, you know, anything you want to talk about. We had some email in the past couple of weeks. This one comes from Jason M. from Chesapeake, Virginia. He wants to know, it seems like a lot of athletes in the elite level of CrossFit have come from the NCAA ranks. How do they think their respective collegiate careers have benefited them in CrossFit? I understand the base physical preparation it provided, but anything about preparation and commitment that carries over. Also, does CrossFit satisfy that competitive thirst?
I'll answer the last question first, and I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
I mean, yes, obviously I wish I was still playing soccer. You know, every day I wish I was still playing. But this is definitely a way to keep me competitive. Answering his question about the going from or being a college athlete and stepping into CrossFit, I think the biggest reason, especially for me, why it translates so well was actually the mental aspect. I mean, yeah, every college player works hard. They do that every day. But for me, it's kind of the mental capacity to keep going and fight through the pain. And I think that's brought me, you know, my success where I've had it was, you know, you can kind of grind through workouts. You know, it's just like a game. You're playing a 90-minute game and you're in overtime and you gotta still work and you still got to go 100%, you know, or else, you know, you make one bad move and you know, you can lose a game for your team.
Right.
And for me, I went literally right from playing a sport right into CrossFit. So I didn't have that downtime that a lot of people have. A lot of people go out and look for jobs and they might hit the gym here and there. Mm-hmm. But they really weren't as athletic or competitive as they were in college, even if they were an athlete.
Definitely.
I think that has something to do with it too. You know, you can be a college athlete, take 10 years off, and then hop into CrossFit.
Right.
And, you know, I can't say that necessarily helps you, but definitely for me, stepping right from soccer going into CrossFit helped me. You know, soccer is a pretty good endurance sport, and me being a goalie, you know, I definitely worked out more than the other guys, and I was, you know, you had to be big and strong as a goalkeeper.
Right.
So for me, it definitely translated very well.
How was it? I mean, we both graduated with Ben, so we've known Ben for a while. How was it kind of being away? I mean, I don't know how close you guys kept when you guys were in college, but kind of coming back here once you were into CrossFit. And coming back here, coaching at CrossFit Krypton, it just opened up. How was it kind of going from working out at a normal gym or a school gym up at Rutgers to coming down here to a CrossFit box and working out with one of the best athletes, the best CrossFitters in the world?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because when I was at – and Jerry Becker, yeah, Jerry's pointing at himself. Yeah. It's funny because when I was at Rutgers, you know, I worked out with guys like Devin McCourty,
right,
you know, and Anthony Davis on the 49ers and guys who are in the NFL, you know, on NFL teams now. And yeah, I was, you know, I was kind of blown away there, but, you know, I got to know them as people and they're just regular people. But I think coming here and working out with Ben and him being what he is and doing what he does so well, you know, that blew me away just as much as, you know, I hate to drop his name, but Ray, you know, like Ray Rice in the weight room or something like that.
Right.
I mean, I think I was more nervous working out with Ben and trying to keep up with him, you know, because he's just so talented and so gifted, you know, than working out with, you know, some of the guys that I used to work out with.
Definitely. Have you seen from up in New Jersey, obviously you qualified for the CrossFit Regionals in the Northeast region. Then you came down here, CrossFit coaching here at CrossFit Krypton. You qualified for the Mid-Atlantic Regionals this past year. I mean, that's very impressive to kind of qualify from one region to another, a very hard thing to do. You know, obviously talent all over the place, but moving into a very competitive region as the Mid-Atlantic that has Ben Smith, that has Jordan Troy, and Nate Schrader, you know, the list goes on and on. How has it been kind of being a part of CrossFit Krypton, and how is training with Ben Smith and the rest of the guys that you train with on a daily basis been to your CrossFit, I guess, your CrossFit career, and I guess just to your athletic career as well?
Yeah, I think, you know, the group of guys we got here, you know, it doesn't get much better than that.
Right.
You have Alec, who's a gymnastics specialist, and you got Ben, who's, you know, just good at everything. Colton's one of the strongest guys at the gym, and Ryan's solid all around. So, you know, you come in to a training session with, you know, these four or five guys, and you're never going to be the best one at anything. You might be, you know, you may move through a movement faster,
right,
but somebody's going to catch you on the next movement because
right,
somebody's definitely going to be better than you there. So, I mean, it's just a great environment with a great group of guys, and you know, we can really push each other, I think, in every area of CrossFit, where I think a lot of gyms and a lot of people training don't have. I think we're just so well-rounded in general with the people we have that we can really, really push the limits.
So, last question before I'm going to kind of go into my final call section of the interview. This one comes from Jerry Becker from Chesapeake, Virginia. We just mentioned he just walked by the interview booth. He sent a question. Your roommate's with Jamie Campbell. We were supposed to have on, but due to circumstances, we'll have him on in the future. He was a former Division I athlete, played football at University of Florida. He has the question, I'll ask Jamie when he comes in, if both throw a dirty, smelly sock on the floor, whose sock will Sadie, your dog, chew first?
Man. Jamie stinks, but she'd probably go for mine. She's all about some socks right now.
Sock game crazy.
But she loves the stance socks, so I'm gonna have to say mine. Jamie doesn't leave his socks on the floor either. It's usually me, so
right,
I'm gonna have to say mine.
All right, well, Adam, thanks for kind of sitting down with us. We got a couple more questions. What we're gonna call the last call segment of the Big Red Express, and just, you know, a couple questions, quick answers. Just kind of random, just going to kind of rapid fire.
Okay.
Answer as fast as you can. You can go on if you want to. Go ahead. All right. When you were in goal, what was the first thing What did you think about when you were in goal?
Man, you're saying when I first started in college, or just like when
you were
started?
In college, games started, you're just sitting there, plays going down the other end of the field. Man, what's going through your mind?
I was just hoping the ball wouldn't come down to my end. Man, I'll tell you, my first game, sorry, I'm going to expand on this one a little bit. My first game ever playing was actually my sophomore year. The starting goalkeeper got injured. It was like the third game of the season. We were playing UConn. They were number 9 in the nation, and we got scored on, and he tore his ACL on the play. So I went into the game 10 minutes in against the 9 ranked team in the nation. Ooh. Down 1-0.
Yeah.
And I can't say I was any more nervous, but we did go on to win that game 2-1, so definitely proud of that. But man, I was just thinking, as long as they can stay down in their end, I'll be okay.
Did you have any pregame, number 2, did you have any pregame rituals that you carried over to CrossFit? Or do you
not really?
I say
my only pregame ritual really before I played soccer, I always tried to visualize, you know, making big saves,
right.
and I'd say I do that in CrossFit now too. I kind of visualize the workout and how I'm going to approach it, and that's definitely helped me a lot in CrossFit.
Yeah, favorite CrossFit movement.
I gotta say bench press, because if I don't, everybody's gonna say I should have said bench press. Bench press.
Favorite Olympic lift.
Clean and jerk.
Okay. And last one, favorite non-CrossFit movement.
Bench press.
That you already said bench press.
No. So. Non-CrossFit movement.
That you won't find anyone else
Ben just
doing
said,
at a gym.
Ben just said bicep curl. dumbbell rows. We don't really do this in here. That's not really a CrossFit movement.
All right.
Got to get a big back.
Awesome. All right. Awesome. Well, thanks, guys. This was Adam Klink, former Division I CrossFit. Former Division I athlete at the Rutgers. Played soccer there. Goalkeeper. Adam, where can we find you on social media?
At Adam Klink is just my name.
Okay.
AdamKlink. That's my Instagram and Twitter, actually. So
awesome.
Keep it simple.
Sweet. Well, hit him up on Instagram and Twitter, folks. Adam, thanks again for sitting down with us, talking a little CrossFit, a little bit Division I athletics, kind of your adventure, and hope to have you on the show later on.
Hey, thanks, man. Thanks.
Appreciate it. All right, guys. Thanks for listening to the Big Red Express. A big thanks to Adam Klink and to everyone who sent in their questions. Remember, you can send in your questions all the time at BigRedExpressPodcast@gmail.com. For the Big Red Express, this is your conductor, Robbie, saying have a great day.